Well, he's picking and we're grinning.
Yeah, man.
Good morning. It is time now for the Green Country Gardener. Larry Glass in studio. I'm Tom Davis. And your calls welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Boy, it feels like spring out there, Larry.
Yeah, it does. This is great. Just absolutely. What, August?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. The wife and I, we're going to have lunch out on the terrace today.
Well, very good. You won't sweat to death, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, have a string quartet all set up ready to go.
Oh, no, you're romantic.
With our tea and all that, whatever. So, good weather, in other words.
Yeah.
It's going to be great sitting outside weather.
Yeah.
So, golly, today all the way to Tuesday, as far as I can see for the weather forecast,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be really quite nice. Mm-hmm. I can get some work done without having to worry about surviving.
About needed a life jacket the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, no, it's weather.
Yeah.
Actually, you're looking at the weather. Yes. We are in July. We have a surplus of 1.8 inches.
There you go. That's a lot of water.
That's 2 inches of water. That's significant for this neck of the woods. Uh-huh. And for the cumulative rainfall, we are 7 inches surplus.
Wow.
25.2 is the normal. And cumulative average and cumulative actual is 32.0 inches. That's 3 feet of rain almost. That's a lot of rain.
Hmm.
So imagine if it was all of a sudden it's 1986.
Yeah.
Then we get a whole year's rain in one night. We've been there, so you can see what the years of precipitation's like.
Boy, those rivers were swollen and creeks were overflowing. It was a mess.
Yeah, you couldn't get downtown.
Yeah.
It was...
you could hit you if you had a boat.
It was flooded just down the road a little bit and down that way. And then on the other side of town, it was flooded. You couldn't get in there.
Jeez.
So you have to go to work by tugboat, I guess. But anyway, we'll take any rain we can get right now. And the forecast does call for a little bit of stuff later on in the week. So good time to think about maybe that it is August and time for the last fertilization of heavy fertilization, nitrogen fertilization, fertilization on your Bermuda grass. The reason why you want to do that, you need to get the grass to toughen up, get ready for the winter. We have a problem here with our precipitation we've had, looking at the chart here, of wet ground in the winter, especially underneath snow, if we do get some snow. And it's a fungus disease called spring dead spot. And when the Bermuda grass wakes up, there's a distinct areas where there is no grass emerging.
I had that this year.
Yeah. And it's caused by the grass not really being hard enough for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go. So don't scalp your yard in the fall either. In fact, I did some experimenting on my yard Wednesday. I set the mower down really low and scalped part of the yard. I've done this in the past,
mm-hmm.
and it makes a nicer presentation for the fall.
It
looks a little tired now when you're mowing it. And that's because there's a very thin veneer of green grass. It's underlain by a lot of thatchy stuff. And this gets it down to a point where it's a bit more green looking going into the fall. So I took it, and just in an area, the backyard, where the little dog doesn't like to go in tall grass. So
the little ones don't.
and on the north side, the south side of the fence. Where.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that comes out. We'll have a weekly trip take on that, how it's going.
Yeah.
But anyway, here it is, late summer, and there's some problems with some of the plants that have gone through the rigors of the summer.
Yeah.
Not rigor mortis, but the rigors of the summer. And the red buds have a case of the uglies right now.
Yeah.
Which is natural. Mm-hmm. It's just they have these little black spots and the leaves turn brown. They kind of some of them sort of fall off. They're just not an attractive tree in late summer. So it's just the way they are. Enjoy the spring blooms when they do bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And so they it's typical. So they'll be okay. The bagworms are becoming more visually obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And when they become more visually obvious, it's virtually too late to control them.
Jeez.
So they've matured and they're getting ready to turn into little butterflies and moths, whatever, and float away. So it's almost too late. Now, if you do have some small bagworms on your trees, BT, spinosad, acephate 7, that'll take care of it. So anyway, just pop by the nursery or call up and ask, what do I use on my bagworms? And it's getting to the point where you just have to pull them off. because it just the control just will not work.
Mm-hmm.
So, also we've had I've seen people's yards they have mites on junipers, spruce, and boxwood, and some drought stress on the boxwood sporadically here and there. I've seen some drought stress on boxwoods.
Mm.
Yeah, and that can cause some discoloration. They turn as bronzish brown color when they're really under stress. Give them some water, they'll pop right back.
Oh, good.
So they're pretty tough, resilient plants. So water deeply, but don't just don't tinkle over them a little bit. But really water them real heavily when you do water them, and fairly infrequently. So that's it, kind of it with boxwood and some other things. One plant that doesn't really have much of any problems are the dwarf yaupon holly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a fine textured little hedgerow kind of plant, you might consider that over the boxwood, perhaps. They don't get as tall as the boxwoods do.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps an alternative to the boxwoods would be the dwarf yaupon holly.
Very good.
So there are other plants we can use for these. And I use the dwarf yaupon holly in a situation where I do want something relatively low and in an area that seems to be a bit susceptible to mites against brick walls and stone walls and whatnot. They mm-hmm. really like warm areas. I was at a house this week, and they had different problems from different plants, and there were different insects. But there's the one insecticide that would have gotten rid of it all is the Captain Jack's dead bug.
Captain Jack's dead bug.
That has a funny name for a spinosad.
Ask for it by name.
It does take care of the bagworms. It does take care of mites and other things that bother plants.
Mm-hmm.
Its key ingredient is spinosad.
Okay.
Spinosad is a synthesis between spinosad A and spinosad D. And together they work as a broad spectrum insecticide, and it is considered organic. In other words, it doesn't have the petrochemicals in it that can cause some
other problems.
Collateral too. Problems, right. So you might consider getting some of that. It's a good safe to use, too. So anyway, that's kind of what's the problem with some plants right now. It's still time to divide those iris, and I think it's going to be relatively cool tomorrow, so I might get after that.
Mm-hmm.
After I get done with the brakes on the truck and shopping and baking bread, I'll divide the iris on my day off. So that'll be kind of fun. Yeah.
There you go.
If you're into dividing your iris.
There you go.
My grandmother used to do that with hers all the time. She'd divide them every 3 years. And
oh, really?
Spread them around the yard and share them with people. Mm-hmm. And she had the most beautiful iris, and it was quite a day. The ectochrome was really going through the cameras when her iris were in bloom. Yes. anyway, that's kind of fun. It's not time to divide much of anything else. Daffodils, though, I did have some in a bed that were in the front of the bed, and I did some ground prep on the bed. I dug up all the daffodil bulbs mm-hmm. and moved them to the back of the bed to where they won't be disturbed when I plant annuals and things. Mm-hmm. In the front of the beds. They'll bloom, they'll do their thing, and then they'll be hidden behind the other flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to relocate daffodils, if you will. The lycoris, if I haven't bloomed, will be in bloom pretty soon. They have an interesting bloom habit. I know this chair's a little funny, but anyway.
Good thing we don't have the studio cam on.
I fell backwards on one.
Well, that one's got a back
splat,
on.
Hit the floor like a rock. So anyway, if your lycoris have not bloomed yet, or if they have bloomed, then you know where they are, and you want to relocate them or divide them perhaps to get more, they can be done also. A lot of your bulbs can be done right now, with the exception of the lilies. You really don't want to divide your lilies yet because they are in the process of replenishing the bulb after bloom season.
I see.
Okay. So the daylilies are just about done. The stellodoros are just kind of waning a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with the cooler weather, perhaps they'll surge on again. The stellodoros, and there's some parallels that have the different colors as stellodoros. They're considered an ever blooming daylily. And they're really quite showy for a long period of time. The important thing with them is to divide them at least every 3 years, because they get a little crowded and they don't tend to bloom very well if the root system is overly crowded.
That way, you know, they get to be properly fed and they can look you know.
Yeah, they can be happy and, yeah. and put on blooms. Yeah. But you really don't want crowded lilies.
No, don't crowd the lilies.
That's just not the way to be.
So, they don't like it.
So if your lilies are non-productive, you might consider dividing them as well.
Lily over there.
Yes, but I would do that a little bit later.
Not right now.
It's just showing off. Yes. So, anyway, that's as far as dividing is concerned. That's about it. You don't want to divide your sedums at this point. They're getting ready to put on their blooms,
mm-hmm.
especially the sedum spectabilis. I noticed some differentiation in some of the sedum plants. So the fall blooming season is coming on pretty soon on those. So check those out, too. They're really drought-tolerant plants. Do real good in the rock garden out in the middle of the yard somewhere where you don't want to water something. They do quite well.
Good.
And, hens and chicks are starting to bloom, too. So there's quite a bit going on with the perennials in the garden. So
we'll come back. We've got a little bit more of the show, plus your calls at 1-800-749-5936. This is the Green Country Gardening Show right here on your favorite radio station. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
From United Rentals. We've had a reputation of we're the big gorilla, we're the largest rental company in the world, and we are. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get out of the order-taking philosophy. We need to find out what people need. We need to show them we have what they need and then fix it up where they can come by and get it, or we can deliver it to them. Either way, 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road, United Rentals.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
It's 4 a.m., Monday. And you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Hey.
Good morning. It is 8:22, the Green Country Gardener program, and your telephone calls are 1-800-749-5936. That'll get you in touch with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. And where do we leave off there?
Oh, we were talking about things to divide, things to prune back and
there
all that.
There you go.
It's you still need to, it's the last prune back for the mums. Your mum should be about 8-9 inches tall at this point.
Mm-hmm. I've
seen a lot of people with leggy mums. And who wants ugly, leggy mums? You need. We're really running out of time to prune those back because they won't bush out and really grow very much after a bit here. So you want to do that. time to maybe a little bit of late summer pruning, but you want to be very careful with what you prune.
Mm-hmm.
Don't prune back your dogwoods right now. They've set their blooms for next year. Look real closely on the tips of your dogwoods. You should see the little flower bulbs just starting to form. And this cool weather and rainy weather, surplus of rain, is going to make for a really nice show of dogwoods next spring. So that's coming up too. So forsythia and azaleas, don't cut them back right now. You could cut your azaleas back.
Mm-hmm.
We dug up somebody's big old azalea plant. It took two of us to get it out of the ground. It was a monster.
That must have been huge.
It was huge.
Gargantuan,
I took my shears and I just cut it back. It looked like a bunch of antlers. Anyway, I met with a guy yesterday, and he said, it's leafed out and looks like a brand new shrub.
Well, there you go.
So azaleas, they're very resilient, very tough plants. They transplant well because they have a very fibrous root system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some trees, some shrubs don't transplant well because their root systems stretch out a real long distance. Uh-huh. And you cut them off when you dig them up, and it causes damage to the roots, and they can't get enough water to support themselves, and they just kind of turn upside down and turn into kindling wood. But azaleas are a little bit different. It takes a little bit of muscle to get a big one up, and I know that firsthand does more than a little bit.
A lot bit.
And a tarp helps, too.
But it does.
And a tow rope. But anyway, it survived, and it's leaped out. It'll go ahead and bloom. We got it transplanted early enough and cut back to where it'll sit mm-hmm. on some blooms, too. So anyway, when you do prune stuff, don't leave any ragged edges. Don't leave any little stumplets, little pieces on this. Mm-hmm. You have to cut it pretty much flush with the trunk of the tree, just so it'll heal over quicker that way.
Mm.
The healing tissue actually encapsulates the damage. And it really can't if it has to go out along the stem and then finally close over at the wound. It'll continue to spread and grow outwards until it completely encapsulates the wound. However, it'll get to the point where the little stub is just too long and it just simply will not close in, and then the wood will rot and you get rotten wood going down the tree and all that other stuff.
You got a whole lot of problems
going on there. Really, when you do prune, and it is late summer, it's a pretty good time to do that because the trees are kind of
they can take it better.
They're kind of chilling right now. They're not doing much growing.
No.
But anyway,
it's August, man.
But I do prefer to bloom in the wintertime when you can actually see the branching structure more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Get a better idea of what's out of balance and what's broken and what's interfering and so on. So, but anyway, if you do have to prune, be sure to prune it close to the trunk so it'll heal over. I did that to my maple trees. I moved on big old branches, you know, hit your head when you're mowing.
Ooh.
And they shade the grass out, too. I have Bermuda grass growing underneath my maple tree, doing quite well.
I'll be.
That's because I keep it pruned up, so I walk around, and if it's a foot over my head, it gets cut off.
There you go. So, got to have your clearance.
Yeah, that's right. I guess it doesn't work if you're 4 feet tall. You won't
have to worry about it.
It helps if you're a little over 6 feet. It helps. To cut. But anyway, so you do want to try to keep that pruned up so you can get some grass to grow and whatnot. So. Okay, it's too early to put mums in the ground right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the mass marketers carry mums. They force them to bloom. By the time it's really time for them to bloom, there are no blooms left.
Yeah.
So you really want to get the ground ready right now. If you
work the dirt.
If you really want to get some mums in, you might look at your landscape composition and see where you can put one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then get a big old bag of compost and prep the soil real good, just so they will take real nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want healthy plants. Nobody wants sick-looking plants. So you want to make sure the ground is ready for that. Another thing to talk about, it's been a bit of a problem in the past. I haven't seen much of a problem with it this year, are armyworms.
Armyworms.
A couple years back, we had a real bad problem with armyworms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the larvae of a moth. And the caterpillars are light green or tan, hence the name are.
Mm-hmm.
Like army, you know.
Got it.
Olive drab. In the early growth stage, and then turn a dark green or brown at later stages. The full-grown larvae are 1.5 to 2 inches long. That's a big old bug. And almost hairless. How embarrassing.
Well, that's the army, because the last I checked, those guys come out of the boot camp rather hairless.
They can identify by, they can be identified by their sears as green, yellow, and brown stripes. I guess that's their corporal,
mm-hmm.
sergeant and general, whatever,
yeah.
Down the length of their bodies. They primarily eat grass blades, but will also eat some vegetables like beans, cabbage, corn, and your tomatoes.
Wow, real wild diet for those.
Really,
guys.
Large infestations can completely defoliate along in just a few days. What do we do with this? How do we take care of this? Bifenthrin works very well. BT works well to control them. And if you actually see them, neem oil works rather well as a contact insecticide.
Okay.
So really, they're fairly easy to control, but you have to be observant and
get them before the troops move in.
With BT, you could be proactive because the bacterial spore remains in the ground.
Okay.
And chances are they'll nibble on some of that, and BT works by paralyzing their digestive tract.
There you go.
And kind of like when you watch a movie and you all of a sudden, oh, I've eaten a whole bag of chips. You get that full filling, but so anyway, that makes them think they're good and full, and
they're not. Their tracks, next anyway. Thing you know, malnutrition.
So BT would be a good way to control them. I really haven't seen any yet, but it's time for that to happen. What I have seen is a lot of Japanese Beatles.
Hey, didn't they have a few songs out back? Like, you know, I Want to Hold Your Sake or something like that? No.
Japanese Beatles are this iridescent green colored beetle.
I gotcha.
They're kind of pretty.
Yeah.
And they fly around, and the larvae are the real problems with these. And they cause some problems. And controlling the adult ones is okay. But the real problem are the larvae, and they're kind of like grub worms. Only these are very voracious reproducers, and they can cause some real bad problems with your plants because they eat a lot of the root systems. You just don't know it till they just die. So we're going to try to carry some milky spore. Mm-hmm. Milky spore is the control for Japanese beetles. And we've been in kind of an island for quite a few years. Our agricultural inspector kind of told us about this. He set some traps a few years ago. Didn't get any, but all around us they had them. But now we're starting to see them. They're moved in. So be prepared for the Japanese beetle invasions.
Kind of invasion.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so that's coming up. And I'll get with Gary and see if we can get Milky Spore.
Right.
Because I've seen a lot of them out there in landscape work.
Eesh.
And I have one in my backyard. Oh, my gosh. A Japanese beetle.
That's it. Got to get them.
It got ninja'd with my snapper. Snapper motor.
One way to get them.
Anyway. All right, we got a caller?
I do believe
maybe
we
it
do.
Might be the office.
Yeah, okay. It might be the office. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener right after this 2-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value in Dewey is your one-stop shop for just about anything and everything you could want or need. Peter's True Value can help you select the right products for the right job. They offer a big selection of quality products, along with some great advice. So be sure to check out every aisle for hot deals, seasonal favorites, and home basics. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
In what feels like the blink of an eye, things got tough, really tough. That's why Convoy of Hope is distributing meals in the U.S. to those hit hardest by the pandemic, people who've lost their jobs or are struggling to feed their children, those who can't afford to get sick. To help, visit convoyofhope.org/10 million meals. That's convoyofhope.org/10 million meals, or use your smart speaker to give today. Any amount is appreciated and will help people who need it most. Already, thanks to the generosity of people just like you, we've distributed masks to hospitals, helped parents who are struggling to feed their children, and provided hope to so many more in need. Your gift to convoyofhope.org/10 million meals will make a difference for so many. Thank you for standing with Convoy of Hope as we respond to this crisis. And if you can't give today, please keep showing kindness to others. We're going to get through this together.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis and your phone calls are welcome and thanks for holding. You're on the air with Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. What I have a question about is my front lawn, I'm thinking needs a tree. It has one, but I was kind of thinking a smaller tree.
Right.
I have a dogwood in the backyard, which is great because my the west side there's the front yard.
Right.
But I wanted I want one in the front yard. Can you put a dogwood at all where you get full west sun?
There are some dogwoods in town, actually doing very well on the full west side. There's one a house in Colonial that has them in it. In an island on the Circle Drive, it's surrounded by gravel and concrete, and they're doing very well.
And are they the white ones, the white blooms?
Yeah, the white. It has some pink ones, too.
Oh, really?
But the important thing is they're in an area that's well-drained. If you have if you have a lawn that's flat and you plant a dogwood on
I don't. I don't. It's not flat at all.
If you have a slope, then you might want to you can consider one. I would probably invest maybe in a small one.
Sure, that's what I want, is a smaller,
because,
a smaller tree.
Because they will adapt a little better. And also, it's not a good idea to have grass right up next to them. They need to be in some kind of a planter island of some kind. They cannot successfully compete with Bermuda grass.
Oops, okay. Because my yard is all Bermuda.
Yeah. So you might go ahead and develop an area maybe at least maybe 10 feet wide or so. An island around them so they can, and you can cover it in mulch, maybe put some boulders in it and, you know, make a nice little bed out of it. And it can be kind of nice. But no, they cannot successfully compete with Bermuda grass.
Okay.
And they do not compete successfully with hackberry trees or sweet gums. Or some of the silver maples, your shallow rooted trees, they'll just draw the life right out of them. So there's a basically a checklist of criteria under which the dogwood will not grow.
Okay.
And
what other small tree? I don't want a redbud, and I don't want anything that's, because I walk and there's these little trees and they drop everything. There's either seeds or yuck every time. And I don't want any of that. That's why I like the dogwood, because I have one in the backyard and it's just perfect.
Yeah, you might. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, is there anything else that I can put in the front yard that Bermuda grass?
Here's a couple of them you might consider. That is the star magnolia.
Yes. Oh, I hate magnolia. I'm sorry.
This is not an evergreen. It's not an evergreen magnolia. It's a deciduous plant. It blooms about the same time as a dogwood, and it has white star-shaped flowers on it. And they don't get as big as a magnolia tree. They're a small tree.
No. Okay. Yeah, so I wanted something small.
I've had a
magnolia.
So what you do is you Google star magnolia. And,
and
look at that, and it'll show you one. And the saucer magnolia is another one. Saucer. They get bigger than the star magnolia. They'll get to be a redbud-sized tree, if you will.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah,
the saucer magnolia, where the star magnolia will be about a Japanese maple-sized tree, not as big.
Okay.
So those are two plants, two varieties of the maple, magnolia that will work pretty well, too.
Okay.
Another one, and it's kind of iffy if it will, I don't know for sure if it will grow in Bermuda grass, is the Khalsa dogwood, the Korean dogwood.
Oh, okay.
The Korean dogwood is a bit more resistant to stem anthracnose, which is a problem we have with dogwoods if not in the right place. And, but still, you want to have some kind of a bed around it, if you will. But Khalsa dogwood's another one. There are some the viburnums also, which will grow pretty well. Viburnum is a different species altogether, and they seem a bit more tolerant of soil conditions. However, they don't like a lot of grass around them either.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, you've given me some ideas. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
And we've got more room for you on the phone lines at 1-800-749-5936. It's the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry?
Okay, we were talking about the army worms. Now, about the lawns, we talked about what to do with your grasses, but we didn't touch on fescue.
No.
It's too early to start fertilizing that fescue grass now, and your mower should be set fairly high on all the grasses. Yeah, like that. Very high. Get some duct tape and put it on the wheels of your mower. Don't make it higher yet. I don't know. The wheels are so worn out on my mower. It's 35 years old.
And still plugging along.
Still working, and the wheels are so worn. I need to get a new set of tires, probably. All the tread's gone on them. But anyway, set it kind of high. When you do water your grass, water fairly deeply and frequently, mm-hmm. infrequently and deeply. You don't really want a constant, you know, Bermuda zoysia, fescue grass, they're not swampland grasses.
No.
The three of them are fairly drought tolerant. So you do want to water fairly deeply and fairly infrequently. Now, one thing I use on the grass to determine if it needs water is in the afternoon. You look at it at kind of an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bermuda grass, the grass blades tend to cup in when they get overly dried. And it's easy to see the areas are distinctly darker where the cupping is occurring. Mm-hmm. And that's the first sign that it needs some water. Kind of the same with zoysia grass and with fescue grass. Kind of the same thing. It just changes color. It gets a little darker or it looks a little dried out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's time to water. And when you do water, just water it real well to the runoff point, mm-hmm. and then stop. And then wait again for that first sign of needing water. Another thing you can do is to just put a screwdriver in the ground or something and see if it's dry. What I'm talking about is not systematically and unconsciously watering, but using water intelligently. Just so you don't water more than it needs. The more the grass is exposed to the drought, and the hardier it gets and more able it gets to withstand, you know, dry periods and the time in between watering.
To kind of you, make it work a little bit.
Save you a ton of money, too.
On water, yeah. On water bills, yeah.
So just some casual observation mm-hmm. can really do very well, and following some simple rules can save you a lot of money on water.
Good to know.
Okay, so anyway, Bermuda grass, we talked earlier about that, but it should be fairly high right now. It's developing stolons, and the stolons will begin to harden off a little bit. That's why you really don't want to fertilize it too much after, say, the middle or the end of this month. It's the last time you want to. So if we've got rain coming, you might want to later on. I didn't fertilize before. You don't know it's not going to rain.
No, you have no idea.
And one sure thing will happen. If you fertilize your grass, it won't rain. Now, you can balance that out by washing your car.
Boy, how do you that happen?
And then instead of a 0% chance, you have a 50-50 chance. So if you wash both cars, you only have a 75% chance. Uh-huh. So, but anyway.
Rain by the numbers. And car washes. So, let's take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
All right.
On the Green Country Gardener program. It's 8:41. Back after this 2-minute timeout.
If you are a certified mechanic in need of a job working for a top local company, apply immediately to Roman's Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's is looking for a full-time ASE GM certified mechanic to work in their service department. Roman's is a busy, fast-paced place to work with a positive environment. If this sounds appealing to you and you have the right qualifications, stop by and see Brian Ballard any weekday from 9 to 5 at Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. A's for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're gonna be fine.
You sing?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh, change up my strategy. Okay.
O's for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband, Mark, was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter, Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is 8:43. It's the Green Country Gardener Program, and you can get on board at 1-800-749-5936. And Larry Glass is here with us today. We've been talking about a lot of different things. Of course, we've had a wet year so far. Wouldn't you say we were just a little bit more?
It's above normal.
Yeah.
However, it's been June was kind of dry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so we're making up a little bit.
Yeah, we were 2 inches short in June, uh-huh. So it made up for it exactly, perfectly.
You see July.
The two lines on the chart right there.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, for the cumulative thing, we're over by 7 inches of rain.
So yeah.
6.9.
Darn precision.
But that data, I guess, I got one of our employees at the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Dan. But anyway, he keeps track of all this
stuff.
Dan the man, you bet. And he keeps track of all the precipitation and keeps everybody informed as to the rain and all that. So it's kind of fun. So anyway, we talked about lawns. It's always a good time to plan for your landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to plan for everything. You plan for your finances. You plan for this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a guide from which you can plan your landscape, it can save you a big ton of money. So anyway, we offer that service. We can do a landscape plan for you.
You got a fancy computer thing that really...
Yeah, we
really
do that then. Yeah, I mean...
Your yard looks great, and you hadn't done anything yet.
And it gives you a visual appearance of what the yard can look like.
Oh, man, that's great. All righty, I think we got a call here. Let's go ahead. It's 8:45. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry here on the Green Country Gardener Program.
Yes. When can you thin out your hostas?
I like to do that in February. February, yes.
Okay. Well, these are sure thick, and they're getting ready to bloom, so we didn't know when to move them.
Yeah, now's not a good time. They'll survive. Okay. They'll survive okay, but if something doesn't eat them up, you're going to lose some of them. Something doesn't eat them. So I like to do that just as the eyes are starting to swell in the spring. But if the eyes are bigger than an inch, it'd be too late. So that's why I say February is a good time to do that.
Okay. Then we have crabgrass, something awful.
Oh.
What can I do for it? You mow one day, and the next day it's sticking up again.
Oh, get another mower.
No.
No. It's too late to do much of any control on crabgrass.
That's what I was afraid of.
The best thing is right about St. Patrick's Day is to get a pre-emergent. And if you have a heavy infestation of crabgrass, you might want to up the ante just a little bit, not much, to increase the effectiveness of it. And then next year, do a second application. About the 1st of May or so, a lighter application the 1st of May. And that'll keep it pretty much under control.
Okay.
I had a bad problem with it in my yard. It took me a couple of years to get rid of it. And I've kind of slacked off on a little bit. Now we've got these little tiny outbreaks here and there. Oh. Crabgrass. Not much, just one or two little plants. And
does it come from the seed?
Yeah. Yeah, and the seeds.
Well, if we kept the seeds off and they can't reproduce.
But
it doesn't die out.
No, that doesn't always. It gets blown in, and animals carry the seeds and all that. And if you have somebody mowing your grass for you, those seeds get carried on the mowers. A pre-emergent is probably one of the better ways. And if you're into organics, corn gluten works rather well as a pre-emergent herbicide.
Okay. Our daughter lives over at Bartlesville in Autumn Circle, and she has rocks.
Yes.
You can't dig down very far.
Yes, I know that. I know Autumn Circle, yes.
Okay. What's your solution there?
I had that same situation in my house. I built raised beds.
Oh, okay.
Worked out really well.
Some of hers are around the house.
Yeah.
But to plant a tree or anything, it's just nearly impossible.
Yeah, I had to invest in a pick.
Okay.
And a rock bar. Now, you pick out your tree species carefully. I do have a Chinese pistache that I planted, and it's doing great. And it's planted right in just, I had to literally use a pick, a rock bar, and a sledgehammer to get a hole in the ground and plant this thing.
See, Larry, his home is right there on a big old slab of lime.
I know, it's a terrible stuff. There's not a crack in the whole house. Anywhere.
Okay.
But
see, I can remember when all of that area used to be country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it didn't bother things then. But now that people live there, they don't like all them rocks underneath there.
Yeah, it's difficult to plant trees. So pick your species wisely. And then there are some trees that will, I planted some northern red oaks in Sooner Park. Some of the worst soil in town.
Okay. Well, what about these seeds they're warning us against coming from China?
Put them in another bag and send them to the ag department or take them up to extension agent.
Does anybody know what they are?
I saw some of them on the news reports. I was able to identify some of them as beans and some other things. I don't know what's happening with this or why this is going on. I don't know. But okay. you really want to don't plant anything. If you didn't order it, don't plant it.
Right. Okay.
I don't understand what's going on with this. I haven't heard any. They haven't delved into it deep enough really to determine where it's coming from or why it's being done.
Well, you just don't want to have yourself a regular old Jack and the Beanstalk experience out there in your backyard, you know.
It's like...
an adventure I could pass on. Giants falling down.
It's kind of like when somebody calls you for your extended warranty on your car, you probably got one or two of those.
Right.
And all they're wanting is your credit card number. So
right.
It's the same kind of thing.
So we're smarter than that now.
I would hope so,
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
You know, we've heard all kinds of things that it could be harmful to livestock. It could be an invasive plant. It could be detrimental to other plants.
There is one fairly large plant. It's common in Russia and Europe and all that. I don't remember the name of it. I found it online to go, oh, my gosh, hope that never gets here. And if you even touch it, your skin just boils.
Ooh, that it's makes poison ivy look like a day in the park.
And it grows really, really tall and has these big white lace flowers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awful.
Hope it's not that.
Well.
Could be.
Yeah. So anyway, don't, if you get those, don't plant them. Don't do anything with them.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a little bit. It's 8:51 Green Country Gardener Program, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Willow Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Willow Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hillary did it. All right. It is 8:53, 7 minutes away from that clock. 66 degrees, and it is the Green Country Gardener program.
All right. We talked about planting for your landscape.
Yep.
And that leads us on to Tree of the Week, which is Betula nigra, or the river birch.
Oh, yeah.
River birch gets 100 feet tall by 70 feet. Big thing.
My yes, yeah, it's a skyscraper of a tree.
It's a rapid-growing bottomland tree with a rather interesting peeling bark, and that's what people find appealing about this. It's a peeling bark.
It peels and it's
appealing. It's got this color of oranges and stuff to it, mm-hmm. and it has an interesting texture and all that. It's kind of a pretty plant, really. It's very fast-growing and kind of weak-wooded, but it is an interesting specimen. It has somewhat architectural in its appearance, mm-hmm. and I think that's what people find it so appealing. However,
there's always a however.
It has shallow roots.
Oh, boy.
And it makes it difficult to plant other plants around it. And it's messy. Every day, something falls from the river. It's kind of like magnolia trees, the big evergreen magnolia trees. Mm-hmm. Every day, twigs constantly fall on it. Branches, they just kind of break off and fall off on it.
It's not a very organized tree.
And it kind of falls apart in the wind. Mm. So,
now, what do you want with a 100-foot tree that's not going to take the wind?
And tear down your house.
There you go.
And uproot your foundation, yes. Yeah. You want to keep it, normally I say 15 feet from the house.
300?
This one, maybe 30 feet. And be prepared to not have much of any grass.
Okay.
And also, if you have a situation where you have some fairly deep soil, mm-hmm. this one will do a lot better. The bald cypress is kind of like that, too. If you have good deep soil, you won't have, and don't water it too much, mm-hmm. the bald cypress won't have the knees.
I know.
Yeah, they have these little knees that come up to try to get oxygen.
Yeah.
Because they're native to swampland areas. It's their instinct to, or they're...
To seek out that,
It's implanted in their genetic material to have something to come up so they can get oxygen. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessary if you don't water it so much. Kind of the same thing with the birch tree. If you really want a birch tree, keep it away from the house. You can don't put it right by the front of the house, but if you have a view out the back, you can put some dark evergreens behind it, like yews and nandinas will tolerate river birch.
Okay.
They will grow with them, and we've planted some in the past when in a difficult situation. They've done pretty well.
Good composition, and they complement each other.
And you need a dark background so you can really see the coloration in the trunking. Mm. They're kind of nice. But somewhere where you can see it in the house at a distance. They get big. It won't be very big at first, but they do get, as you see, 100 by 70 feet. They get to be a large tree.
There you go.
So you really want to be careful how you plant this. And then this one in there, and they do make a rather striking architectural accent in the landscape. So they're pretty nice trees, really. But they fall apart in storms. Keep them away from power lines and things like that. Definitely keep them away from the sewer lines and water lines and irrigation valves, too. Mm-hmm. If the roots will just grow around an irrigation valve or a sprinkler head, it'll just go around it and encapsulate it in this mass of wood and root fibers. Mm-hmm. Making it impossible to maintain if something goes wrong with it. So pretty good plants, but be very, very careful how they're used in the landscape.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. But river birch, really nice plants. Okay, shrub of the week is Autolucan's laurel. This is another one that has deep green glossy leaves. Makes this lower growing plant kind of interesting. It's a good backdrop or foundation plant. It gets only 36 inches tall, about 60 inches wide. Mm. It's kind of low and squatty looking. It prefers well-drained, rich, slightly acid soil. Quite the opposite of what we have here.
Quite the opposite.
So you want to make sure you prepare your soil real well. And it does not like to dry out. So you put it in a situation where it can be irrigated. Prepare your soil properly for this one. It'll do pretty well. Mm. And it should do just fine. But I'd like to use it as a low... evergreen plant. Yews work just as well, if not even better than this. And shot hole is a problem. It's a fungus disease they get too. So anyway, maybe further north this one will work a little bit better, but down here is probably not the best plant to have. So don't get slickered into buying Otto Lucan's laurels. Skip laurels are kind of the same way. But cherry laurels are a little bit different. They don't have all those problems, but they get huge, good backdrop screening plants. Okay? So anyway, at the nursery, we've got 4-inch annuals on sale. 4-inch annuals are ones that already have a developed root system. They're pretty much established, and they're kind of ready to go. They will tolerate being a little bit dry for a little bit. So you might consider getting some of those. The sedums and the hinge and chicks are starting to bloom, getting some color on those. We have a good selection of plants for that attract hummingbirds, and butterflies, things like that. So come by and check those out, too. We still have lots and lots of color, some good house plants, too. So we're pretty well stocked. A lot of times nurseries and even the big box stores kind of run out of stuff, but we still got it. Rosa Sharon's, we got the little miniature Rosa Sharon's. Rosa Sharon is a good, tough plant to have here because it does tolerate the heat real well. And the dwarf Rosa Sharon has the big blooms, but a real small plant. So it's real favorable in the landscape. And while you're at it, get a sack of compost. And when you get home, make sure to sharpen that shovel real good because, golly, with all this rock in the soil and everything else, we need that. See you next week.
Take care, Larry. News is coming up next. Thank you very much.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.